listening to the Sunday Sermon Podcast from Faithbridge Presbyterian Church in Frisco, Texas.
So as a people now, we are in the book of the prophet Isaiah. We are in chapter 65, and together we will look at verses 17 through 25. Isaiah 65, 17 through 25, listen now. "For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth, says the Lord. The former things shall not be remembered, they shall not come to mind. Be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy, its people as a delight. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, I will delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. But the serpent, its food shall be dust. And they shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. Thus says the Lord." Let's pray. Again, for the chance of being together, for the opportunity to be your people, to claim the promises that you have for us, we give you thanks and praise. And we ask, if we could, that you would speak to us. We are not picky about how you do. Do it in word, do it in song, do it in prayer, do it in the presence of another. Just speak. So that we might leave today with a better understanding of who we are and of whose we are. In your name we pray. So I was not with y'all last weekend. I was in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I was standing in front of two of my former youth as they made vows to each other and began their life together as husband and wife. It was one of those cool things, and never before in my ministry had I married two youth to each other. I had married youth before, but never two youth at the same time. And so it was really cool. What was wild about this particular couple is I don't remember them dating at all when they were in the youth group. And truly, I don't even really remember them hanging out. Now, in fairness, they weren't in the youth group together all that long, because somewhere late in middle school or maybe early in high school, he moved from Georgia to Colorado. Somehow they connected in high school, and then she went off to Colorado to go to college, so she told her daddy, but really to follow a boy. And then 5 years, a couple of moves later, and now today they are coming back from the Bahamas, where they are now husband and wife. It was a really cool thing for me to do. When our kids were little, we had three primary babysitters. You have met one of those three. You have met Caroline. She is the one now who lives in Houston. I have talked about her before. She's the one who wouldn't go on the Destination Unknown trip because she had to know where we were going. I don't know if y'all remember that. In addition to Caroline, her older sister Samantha was one of our primary babysitters. So too was the girl that I married last weekend, Rachel. Rachel became our primary babysitter. She was not just our babysitter, but part of our family. So much so that we moved away from her, I think, when Clay was three, maybe four. And it wasn't until we moved here that he stopped calling all teenage girls Rachel. She was part of who we are, and it was really cool to stand with her as she entered this new stage of her life. As I watched them, though, I was struck by how their extended families are like many families today. Both of their extended families are split. So both Rachel and her husband Daniel come from split homes. Now, Rachel's mom has since passed away. Her dad has remarried. And both of Daniel's parents have remarried as well. 9 years ago, I stood with his mom and her current husband as they said vows to each other. And so not only was this first time I had married former youth to each other, it was the first time I had married generations within the same family. It was a cool weekend, at least for me, on so many different levels. But it was a whirlwind weekend as well. I left here early on Friday morning, and there is no direct flight, I don't think, from Dallas to Chattanooga, so I had to stop in Atlanta, go to Atlanta to Chattanooga, right? If you have been to a wedding at all, chances are the wedding was like this. The wedding took place on a Saturday. The rehearsal, probably on a Friday. Now, there are different weddings and different ways to do things, but that tends to be how it works, right? And typically, the rehearsal is right in the late afternoon, just before supper time, so that after the rehearsal, you can transition easily into the rehearsal dinner. You with me? Right? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay. So that's how it typically is. This time, it was different because a couple of weeks ago, the bride's grandfather passed away. And so they knew that the family was all gathering together for the wedding, and they didn't want them to gather again. So they had the memorial service and a reception right in the middle of the afternoon, right when the rehearsal would have been, which meant the rehearsal had to be at 1. Which is great, except my flight, in theory, was supposed to get in at 1. Right? So assuming my flight was on time, I was going to get to the rehearsal just in the time that it would end. Okay? So that's how it works. And because I was on a puddle jumper from Atlanta to Chattanooga, I had to check my bag. So there I am. I'm flying through the Chattanooga airport. I go to baggage claim. I get in my bag and I fly to the car. The bride's dad picks me up and we are literally booking it to the airport. Now, if you've ever driven in the Southeast, it is a bit different than driving in Texas. There are these things called hills and the roads, they are not dead straight. Right? So we are flying, literally flying around these curves to get to a rehearsal that is going to be over by the time we get there. Right? We get there and sure enough, the only people I know really are the family. And so I walk in and the wedding coordinator has prepared them that if I come, we're going to run through it all again. So I walk in the room and everyone just groans. And I'm thinking usually it takes people a little bit of time before they groan in my presence. But this is how it is. And so we go through the whole thing again. It was crazy. What was even crazier is Sunday was totally different. Friday was rushed. Sunday we had the wedding, and then there was a Saturday we had the wedding. Sunday there was a brunch late morning. And then nothing else. There were a couple families from Atlanta that came to the wedding, and so they were going to take me to the airport. One family in particular had to go, and they just offered to take me at the time. Bless you, son. And so they got me to the airport 2.5 hours early. So if you know me at all, 2.5 hours for me to sit anywhere is just utter misery, right? But I was thinking maybe that was okay because I would get to check out the Chattanooga airport. I would maybe walk around through the stores and I would see some people and people watch. That was my theory. Here's the deal, and I didn't get this on Friday because I was so rushed. There is absolutely nothing at all to the Chattanooga airport. Nothing, right? There is one terminal. If there are 8 gates, there are not 10, right? And so you walk in, and this is security, and the terminal is just like a normal terminal. So think of it as my arm. And you're walking out from security to the terminal. All of the gates are on this side. And as you're coming back now, here are the shops and the restaurants. The problem is there isn't a single one. Because what they are doing is they are doing construction. The whole airport, at least this side of it, is under construction. And what is really cool about them is they have made this fake wall, right? And it's a really nice wall. Let me say this. They have sheetrocked it, and they have mudded it, and they have painted it. It is a nice fake wall, right? And I'm thinking the people of Chattanooga are thinking, we can't just have this naked wall right here. And so they have put all these ads of all these restaurants and shops that are going to come, and there's not all that much room, but there's a whole mess of ads, okay? And then I'm thinking they're thinking, we got to do something else. And so there are these signs they have made up that say, pardon our construction, pardon our dust, pardon our progress. There's 3 different ones, right? Because you can't have the same one. And then at the end, the slogan is always, we are making progress for you. And my first thought was, gosh, that's nice of them to get through all this trouble just for me. And then it dawned on me that in my life, I've been in the Chattanooga airport 2. Both times were last weekend. And so they are making this construction. They are making this progress, and it is self-serving. They are doing it because they want to bring the airport into the modern era. They are doing it so they can have these restaurants and these shops so people might be encouraged to spend their money in the airport. I get all of that. But they're not doing it for me. I might benefit from this. I might enjoy it because it was really inconvenient to be in that construction, but they are not doing it for me. Now, here's the deal. I don't mean to be making too much fun of the people at Chattanooga, right? Because I understand their need to sell what they were doing, and I thought it was really considerate of them to put up all these signs telling us what we were doing, but I read, and I am struck by the way in which God does not share their constraints, right? I am creating a new heaven and a new earth, God says. I am creating a new heaven and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered. They will not come to mind. I am creating these things. Rejoice in it, God demands, because you better believe I am going to. I mean, it's awesome to hear what God is saying about the stuff that God is doing. And if you are a child of Israel, it is even better. This is good news for our brothers and sisters. Two generations before, they had left Babylon, and they are headed back to Jerusalem. And as they went, their prophets were singing about all this cool stuff that God is going to do, how God was going to restore their city, how God was going to build a temple and bring it and set it slap down in the middle of it, and it was going to be awesome. But none of this has happened. Two generations have passed, and the temple, it has been rebuilt, but it is pitiful. It is pitiful compared to the one that Solomon built. And the city, it is ruins, and the people are beginning to doubt. And so with the people doubting, God starts making these promises. I am going to do these things. I am going to create a new heaven and a new earth, and it is going to affect all of creation. The wolves and the lambs, they are going to eat together. The lion, it is going to eat straw like the ox. Everything but the serpent is going to benefit. For everything but the serpent, it is going to be at peace, and it is going to be glorious, and it is going to be awesome. If you are not an Old Testament Christian, I don't know how you can't be after reading these texts. They are awesome. This stuff is the stuff that makes the prophets as cool as they are. But it's a little convicting too, right? Because if I am honest, I really like my cocoon. I dig creation as it is. At least the part that I'm aware of, the part that means most to me, right? I like where I live. I like that I can be outside most days. I like that I fish pretty much every week. Now my yard, it could be bigger, and it would be great if a pool just magically appeared. But I like where I live. I like what I do. I cannot believe I get paid to do what I do. I have a good family. I have great friends. I have few worries. As awesome as it sounds that God is going to create a new heaven and an earth, I don't see how he could create one that is better for me. And therein lies the fear, right? Because as awesome as this sounds, I wonder about the cost. And I say that knowing that there are people throughout our world who would die for a new heaven and a new earth, who literally are dying for a new heaven and a new earth. Our brothers and sisters in the Philippines, they have had their worlds rocked again, this time by a typhoon. Thousands are dead. Hundreds of thousands are displaced. They are wanting a new heaven and a new earth. They are so desperate that they are killing relief workers who are coming to them and giving them things that they need because they are not sure if something will come tomorrow. And of course, what that means is the relief workers now, they are slower and slower in coming. So the people are more and more desperate. They want a new heaven and they want a new earth. And they'll take a new earth over a new heaven any day of the week. We know this, right? You can't avoid it. I don't watch the news and I know it's there. It's on Facebook. It's on people's voices as they're talking. And I wonder, though, what do we do about the thousands of others who are just as displaced, but not obviously so? I sat with one at the rehearsal dinner. I sat right next to a bridemaid. And if you talked to her and if you looked at her, you would think she's totally fine, that she has got it all. She is cute and she is young and she is fun. And she has got a good job and she's got good friends and she's got a good family. She has got a good life, but she is stuck. She has been dating a guy for 5 years. 5 years really is not all that long in the grand scheme of things, but that's pretty much her entire adult life. And she is clear she wants to be married, and she wants to be married to him. He is clear that things are just fine as they are. And she wants to dream of a new reality. And she can't imagine changing that dream to have a different reality with someone else. And so she is stuck. In a reality that is okay, but far from ideal. Now, the two are totally different, right? You cannot compare what's going on in the Philippines with what's going on with her. Their two are not even on the same scale. Even she would tell you that. And so what we tell her is, hey, don't worry about it. It's no big deal. Things could be worse for you, as if that's going to make her feel better. Or that new kid who still hasn't gotten connected. Or that family who is struggling and getting farther and farther behind, chasing status when they can't chase something else. Or any of the people we know who look at their lives and wonder how in the world they got where they are. Discounting them, discounting anyone, is not the answer. What we need to offer them is a different reality. Here's the deal, though. It takes faith to imagine a different reality. It takes courage to step out into that reality. Sometimes what we need are people to lead us. And on Thursday, as Lynn said just a minute ago, we did that. We turned over the keys to the latest apartment we sponsored with the Samaritan Inn, and we have changed the reality for one person. The hope, of course, is that as we changed his reality, our reality was changed too. And what we were reminded of is that our God is continuing to create and recreate and recreate over and over again on such an unimaginable scale, that we can't even begin to fathom it. A scale that is not bound, not by Babylon's chains or by any of ours. Listen to the words of our Lord. I am creating a new heaven and a new earth. May we be as excited about that as God is.
Thank you for listening to the FaithBridge Sermon Podcast. We'd love for you to come worship with us. You can find more information about us at www.faithbridgechurch.org or our Facebook page at FaithBridge PC.